Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is December the 6th, and I'm with Scott Patty for Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin.
We're in December.
We are.
Yeah.
And it's a cold day outside.
It is.
It's a warm weekend.
Dropped significantly this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready for Christmas.
Okay, here we go. I got an icebreaker.
All right.
Favorite Christmas song.
Oh, it can't do that.
Why?
I like them all.
Well, you have to give me one.
Well, actually, there are a few I don't like, but but no, I love Christmas song. I can't. I cannot play this game.
You have to throw one out.
I love Christmas songs. I love "O Come All You Faithful."
That's it. That's my favorite one.
Okay, all right. Well, it's not really a Christmas song. It's a hymn.
What's a hymn? We
did it Sunday.
That's right. We did.
Sang it Sunday. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the children's choir is going to do one of my new favorites.
Ooh.
Again, this year.
Spoiler alert.
How's it go? What's the name of it? Sing We the Song of Emmanuel.
That's a good one.
I love that song. Yeah. We're going to sing that again this year.
Because the children's choir is on Sunday. On Sunday.
And they're going to lead us in that song.
That's great.
So there's a lot. I love Christmas songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good ones.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to ask for your least favorite.
No. Please don't do that.
Okay.
Just keep it.
Keep it positive. That's great. So this past Sunday, you were in, this is part three now of John chapter 6.
Yeah, that's right.
So do you want to tell us and recap from Sunday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just can't stress enough the importance, the power of meditating on the Gospel of John, the whole book, and then these sections where Jesus is teaching.
Yeah.
And John 6 is Jesus teaching and showing by the sign or the miracle of the feeding and the interactions with the crowd that he is the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a really powerful passage of just, you know, the eternal words of God, the words of life, mm-hmm. the work of Jesus.
It's very dense too.
It's dense. It's powerful. It's good. So, what was the question?
Recap from Sunday.
All right. So we're at the point we did verses 35 through 65. That was the third part, and this is where Jesus clearly states, "I am the bread of life."
Yep.
And then he expounds on that about what it means to partake of him as the bread of life and what happens when we partake of him as the bread of life and how we partake of him as the bread of life. So that was in verses 35 through 65. And what I did, because, I hope this came across the right way. The words are powerful and they're beautiful and they're exactly the way the Lord wanted them in Scripture. And at the same time, there is some repetition going on and a lot of exposition. And so it makes it a bit challenging for me, at least, call it my denseness, to be able to just outline it consecutively.
Right.
So I lifted out the three of the main points that were being made in the passage. And the first one is simply that Jesus is the bread of life. And so people can go back and listen to the sermon, but that's what we did. And we tried to describe what kind of life, eternal life, which is both quality and quantity, and what does it mean for Jesus to be the bread, the source, and that which sustains this life. And second point was that we must come to him and believe. And then we looked at in order to have life, and we looked at the way Jesus described that, those strange words of eat my flesh, drink my blood, feed on me. And how to try to understand that as the language of faith.
Yeah.
Again, people can listen to the sermon, but that's what we talked about. And then the third point was that because these are hard sayings, they are offensive, first of all. They also are difficult with our dull spiritual sense to be able to understand them, which requires that the Father do a work and the Spirit do a work in drawing us to Christ.
Yeah.
And but here's where we ended, and here's the hope of all that. He does.
Yeah.
He does. So when we say the Father must draw us to Christ, must give us to Christ, must grant that we can come to Christ, those, all three of those phrases are used in John 6. Mm-hmm. We don't say that as a way of putting us into some kind of hopeless,
right.
Sort of just waiting it out, hoping for something to happen. No, the point of that is to say God does this.
Yeah, he does.
He does. So we can have all kinds of hope, mm-hmm. and we can say, let's go, let's preach the gospel, mm-hmm. let's run to Christ, let's trust Christ, let's call people to trust mm-hmm. Christ. Why? Because the Father grants that. Right. It's his will to grant that.
Yeah. So good.
That was the, that's it in a nutcap, in a nutshell.
Right. Okay. So here's the one area of maybe clarification and amplification that I want to draw out from John chapter 6.
Okay.
And it's found in verse 53. So let me read the verse.
All right.
And then kind of ask you some questions. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you, now, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.
Yeah.
So here's the one word there, Scott, is this word unless.
Okay. Oh.
So sometimes, you know, Scott, Jesus, he kind of gives parables and you're kind of like, all right, what you trying to mean there? This isn't one of those times.
Right.
It seems very straightforward. So, Scott, when he uses this word unless, is he meaning that it is through faith in Christ alone where we find spiritual life?
Yes.
Okay.
Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Okay. So you're asking, what does unless mean?
Yeah.
It means unless.
Yeah.
Now let's say to anybody listening to this, you might be thinking, yeah, but I want to know what eat my flesh and drink my blood means. Okay. We covered that in the sermon on Sunday.
Right.
So I would say go back and listen to that. We did spend a lot of time on that. Your question is Jesus saying that it's an absolute necessity?
Right.
I guess necessity. We do have to explain what eat my flesh and drink my blood means. It means faith. It means personally partake by faith of Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yes.
And your question is it an absolute necessity that we partake of Christ by faith in order to have life in us? And the answer, yes. I mean, it's clear that it is. And that's another strong statement.
Right.
That's as strong as that. As those two phrases, eat my flesh and drink my blood.
Right.
Those are strong statements. It's like, what does he mean by that?
It
goes against our sensibilities. It certainly we've got to unpack that, which again, we did. Mm-hmm. But equally strong is that emphasis on the absolute necessity of not only Jesus Christ atoning for our sins on the cross, but people partaking of him through faith. Yes, in order to have eternal life. Yes, that is a necessity.
So if that's true, if Jesus is necessary for spiritual life, then what does that mean for us? Like how does that apply to our lives if that's true, if he is really necessary, alone, Christ alone necessary? What should that mean for us as those who have placed our faith? Like, how does that play out in our lives, in the world, and how we respond and how we act, everything? I mean, how does that affect us?
Well, it obviously puts a urgency on us as Christians, on us as the church, to preach the gospel of Jesus. I would back up though, even before that. I think what it does to us is it humbles us in the thought that any of us actually does have faith in Christ. So if we could go back a little bit further, if I can back it up, and I'm going to get to that point, but just keep backing it up. I mean, you know, we start off spiritually dead, not spiritually neutral. Jesus said, you know, whoever doesn't believe in me, this is in John 3, whoever doesn't believe in me is condemned already. He says, whoever does believe in me, I think in John 5, he says, has passed from death to life. So the starting point for humanity is spiritual death. right. spiritual separation from God. And it's in believing in Jesus that we come to spiritual life, that we have the life of God in us. So we should, I think, first start by saying just how humbled we are and how grateful we are that the Lord did a work in our lives to even get us to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we read in John 6, we read on Sunday that no one can come to the Son unless it has been granted by the Father. Nobody right. can come to Jesus unless it's been granted by the Father. So the starting point would be the humility, the gratitude, the awe even
mm-hmm.
of knowing that God has brought us to His Son by faith.
Yep.
Then having been brought in by the Spirit of God who gives life, we then turn and face back out and say, man, this gospel has to get preached. Why? Because unless people believe, right. eat His flesh and drink His blood, partake of Christ, they don't have life.
They're spiritually dead.
Yeah. So it puts an urgency
mm-hmm.
to us. And that we can go in a minute in terms of how that even lands.
Yeah.
But it puts a focus too.
Yeah.
An urgency and a focus.
That's good.
Does direct evangelism, is that the only thing the church does? Well, the church builds up people and people go out and do all kinds of,
yep.
of things in the world to the glory of God. So we would never say no to that.
Right.
But we do have to say whatever we do to the glory of God, it cannot be it cannot be missing the proclamation,
mm-hmm.
the preaching, the yeah. the declarative nature of the ministry of the church sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It must be, because yeah. unless someone eats His flesh and drinks His blood, which means partake of Christ by faith, mm-hmm. then you don't have life.
Right. So it seems like, too, since Jesus is necessary for spiritual life,
mm-hmm.
could we say that's maybe, why at Grace a lot of times we talk about fighting for the gospel and Jesus to be the primary message of all things we do at Grace, because it can be tempting for us at times, maybe even individually as our own personal life, but even as a church, to let other things elevate to primary.
Mm-hmm.
And you could accidentally, you may not be doing it on purpose, that becomes on the same level as necessary as Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a focus. That's the focus
right.
point. Here's another way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
When you read, we're preaching through the Gospel of John, so right. we really want to pay attention to the theology of John and the emphasis of John,
mm-hmm.
The message of John.
Right.
And John himself, the apostle, said he has one message.
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 20, verse 30, so not the end of it, there's chapter 21, but right. almost at the end of the book, John says, he wrote down these things. He could have written down more things.
Right.
Because there's so many things that, that he couldn't, there's not enough books to contain. He couldn't contain it all.
Yeah.
But he wrote down these things so that people would believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing in Him, we would have life in His name.
Yeah.
So what we're doing in every section of John is he's just yeah. saying the same thing over and over right. and over.
Yeah.
So think about that. The message is singular,
mm-hmm.
that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And here the Son of God is called yeah. the bread of life, and that believing in Him, we have life.
Yeah.
So he just says it over and over, numerous ways, numerous signs. And that communicates to us not only the main point, mm-hmm. but also the main emphasis.
Yeah.
And the main focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's what we have to. We get from John that Jesus is the Son of God, who believing in Him, we have life in His name. And we also get from John that is the message.
Yeah.
And it's the focus. It's the emphasis.
Yeah.
Now, again, there are other discipling messages that we give. There are other ways we equip mm-hmm. ourselves to live in the world. There are other ways. There are numerous ways that we contend for the faith.
Yep.
That we speak the truth, that we love well, that we mature, Okay. But we cannot forget that this word unless is there. Mm-hmm. And it drives things.
Yeah. I like that you're talking about focus, because I think you can look at it on terms of a congregation and their focus as a body of Christ together. Mm-hmm. But you also can pull it down to the individual level. Mm-hmm. So you can say, yes, as a congregation, we've got to be focused on the necessity of Christ. Now, as I go out in the world, now, however, my focus need, you can kind of change that. But I think it's helpful to me to hear this, because it's saying on a congregational level, yes, but also as I head out into the world as an individual, my focus must be Christ.
Right.
Now, we engage in different ways, for sure.
Yes.
But my source and my foundation,
well,
Christ.
We're a Christian.
Right.
And we're Christians. And so, yes, again, let's be really clear.
Yeah.
Every day, Christians wake up and they go about their day and they do a lot of things.
Right.
And all of the things that they do, that we do, are to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Because we're Christians, we're Godward in our focus, in mm-hmm. our affections. We're doing things. Driving that though, is that people would hear the name of Christ, mm-hmm. and that they would believe in Him and have life in His name.
Yep.
Now, opportunity is something to consider. You know, there are places in the world that you don't have the opportunity to give that kind of direct witness. Mm-hmm. Some jobs, you can't do that. And sometimes it's a matter of you can't do it. And other times it's a matter of time and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But we are a part of the church, and the church has a collective voice. Mm-hmm. And the collective voice of the church, we would take our cues from the Gospel of John, which is to show in numerous ways that Jesus is the Son of God, and mm-hmm. if we believe in Him, we have life in His name.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, it's helpful. It's helpful to think about these little words that are in there, this word unless, helping us understand the necessity of Jesus as a congregation and as an individual Christian in the world. So
I think we need to wrap up, but I think one more thing I'd say about this little word unless is we need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. That if we insist on every word, and therefore this word, unless you believe, you don't have life in you. If we insist on that word, it is going to call for us to have a lot of trust in the Lord, and to be prepared for that not to be accepted.
Yeah,
and to be prepared for to have a lot of things pulling us in a lot of different directions. We just need to be prepared for what that might cost, what that's going to cost us.
Yeah.
To insist on that word unless.
Yeah.
Good. We're not insisting on it. We're just trying to take Jesus at His word.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, it's very helpful. Something definitely to pray about and think about in the days ahead. And we look forward to another week on the 12th, going back to John 6.
Yeah. Appreciate this week.